Welcome to another episode of This Engineering Life, the undergraduate series. I'm Becky Simmons, a professor of the practice of mechanical engineering and materials science at Duke University. I'm joined with Raina, Richard, Jack, Paulina, Ellie, and Celine, all undergraduate engineering students also at Duke University. In this episode, we're continuing to talk about the relationships between Pratt and Trinity, the two undergraduate engineering schools at Duke University. We will talk with Dean Cook, an academic advisor here at the Pratt School of Engineering, about transferring into engineering and just general thoughts about engineering, and also two students that transferred from Trinity into engineering. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our next episode of This Engineering Life, Pratt and Duke's premier podcast, hosted by undergraduates like yours truly, Jack Degoni. And today, we have a very special episode for you. We're going to be talking about the transition from Trinity to Pratt. And I've got a couple Pratt superstars, Pratt stars, if you will, who have made that transition over their time at Duke, Savannah and Sam. So, Savannah, why don't you start? You can kind of introduce yourself and then just briefly get into where you're from, what your major is now, and then later on we'll talk about your whole journey through from Trinity to Pratt and everything like that.
Hey guys, I'm Savannah, and I am currently a senior studying mechanical engineering here at Duke. When I first came to Duke, I was actually undecided in Trinity, and then I switched into Pratt at the beginning of my sophomore year. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, and I am originally from Richmond, Virginia, and so not too far from Duke.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay, Sam, you're up next. Why don't you do the same? Give an intro of who you are, where you're from, what your major is now, and then we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details later on.
Great. I'm Sam. I'm from Lyme, New Hampshire. I'm currently studying an interdisciplinary engineering major, risk, data, and financial engineering. It's through Pratt's IDEAS program. Some acronym, not 100% sure what it stands for. I think interdisciplinary engineering something. And yeah, just like Savannah, I started in Trinity as undecided and then switched into Pratt, I guess the summer between my freshman and sophomore year.
Beautiful. Thank you guys for those lovely introductions. And just like that, the podcast is off to a phenomenal start. So I just wanted to kind of get into some of that conversation about your journeys through here. But this is going to be a time where we get to take a closer look and maybe do some reflection and examination of how that all started. So I want you guys to talk for a second about the beginning of your journey at Duke. You know, you get accepted and you're getting ready to go. You're not entirely sure what you want to do. Most people, honestly, if they start in Pratt, you know, you're more likely to see a Pratt to Trinity transfer than a Trinity into Pratt transfer, which is why your guys' perspectives are so valuable. So why don't you each talk a little bit about your perspectives going into college, what your thoughts were about your major, and how that all got started. Savannah, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so I actually, when I first submitted my application to Duke my senior year of high school, I submitted it as an engineering application. But my recruiter was like, I think that you would be more competitive as a Trinity applicant. And I was like, okay, cool. So I kind of knew that maybe I wanted to do engineering anyway coming into Duke. I was just kind of like, well, I'll give Trinity a try for like a semester or two and see if there's anything in that that I would want to major in. And so my freshman year, when I came to Duke, I started out taking like math, chemistry, you know, some STEM courses, just not necessarily in Pratt. And I also took a music theory course just for fun. Nice. My freshman first semester. And I vaguely enjoyed my STEM courses and I was like, yeah, maybe I could do that. So second semester, I took the first year design course for engineers, which is like your spring semester. They have like one section of that class, and that's when Trinity students are allowed to take it, or any Pratt students who couldn't fit in their first semester if their schedule didn't work out. So I took that class and I just really enjoyed the process of design, like the whole iteration process. I just thought it was really fun. And I had a really great experience. I had a great professor. My group was a headache sometimes, but that didn't take away from the fact that I felt like I learned a lot in that class and I could possibly see myself doing engineering in the future. So after that class is kind of when I decided that I wanted to switch into Pratt, like for sure, because I'd, you know, taken a few classes in Trinity and I was like, yeah, I don't really know if anything in that is necessarily aligns with my interests and like what I want to do after college. Yeah. So I was just kind of like, you know, maybe I'll just switch into Pratt and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I switched into Pratt kind of between, I guess, over the summer kind of. And my first semester sophomore year, I was actually BME, biomedical engineering.
Wow.
And so I was in like biology and like some ECE classes, and I hated it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hated it. I hated biology. I hated the ECE classes that I was in. I got like a 27 on one of my midterms, and I just absolutely cried about it. It was just tragic. And I was like, okay, so maybe BME isn't for me.
Yeah, totally fair.
And I was like, okay, we have four other majors to pick from.
Yeah.
In Pratt. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll give mechanical engineering a try. And so after my first semester sophomore year, I like switched to mechanical engineering.
The rest is history.
Yeah. And then after that, I just was playing a lot of catch up until my senior year. Yeah. And now here I am on track, graduating on time. Let's
absolutely.
Go.
Good for you.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Absolutely. And to some degree, anybody who makes it all the way through Pratt is a miracle. I mean, it's just a heavy course load and a whole lot of requirements you have to fulfill. So Savannah, really interesting to hear about your exploration, not only between Trinity and Pratt, but also within Pratt and kind of finding your niche and seeing what worked for you. And as someone who was mechanical engineering right from the start and have still had plenty of difficulties along the way and taking care of all the requirements and checking all the boxes, I salute you for your ability to take all of that on. And so I'd love to hear from you now, Sam, about your journey, what you were feeling like leaving high school after you got accepted. And a special note about Sam is that he took a gap year. So he had a whole year to contemplate all kinds of things among many interesting pursuits, which you're welcome to share about as well. And then eventually getting back to the school grind and moving towards engineering. So let's hear about that from your perspective, Sam.
It's true. Like Jack said, I took a gap year. That was in no small reason because I had no idea what I wanted to study in college. When I applied in Trinity, although sort of like Savannah, had an inkling that maybe I wanted to do engineering, but I chose Trinity because I felt myself like maybe my Trinity application would be a bit stronger. I'd really liked my humanities courses in high school a little bit more than I'd liked the STEM courses, although that might have been more about just which teachers I liked.
Mm.
So yeah, I applied as a Trinity major, mostly for the options, because I was pretty scared about just having one thing to do and knowing that was my path. But the thing with options is that then you have to choose.
Yeah.
I had a really hard time doing that. And on that gap year, I didn't really, you know, make up my mind very much.
Well, briefly share what you were doing during that gap year while you were being undecided, just for interest's sake.
Yeah. So I lived in Spain for 6 months, found my way into the Spanish National Hockey League,
correct,
which is pretty cool. And then I backpacked in Chile for a month, and then COVID hit.
So yeah, the perfect time to not think about school. So very understandable that deciding which major you would eventually pursue wasn't the number one thing on your mind. But how was it? Obviously, starting up freshman year, COVID's going on, you're trying to figure out what your niche is. What was that like?
Yeah. So during freshman year, obviously COVID happening, I had no experience on Zoom like the rest of my peers did. I'd never downloaded Zoom, never done an online course before. So there was a bit of a learning curve there, felt a little bit behind. I also hadn't done anything academic for a year. So also felt a little bit behind there. Absolutely bombed the math placement test. They told me I should not be taking the math class I wanted to take, signed up for it anyway.
Nice.
It was fine. And yeah, sort of like Savannah, I had a hard time with my Trinity classes because betwixt the 200 person lectures and not actually having any in-person meetings with my professors and being a little bit behind, I felt, because I'd had a year off academics, I felt like I needed something in person. So that second semester came around, I took EGR 101. Partially because it was the only in-person class offered at basically the entire university.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I loved it. I had a great group of people in my class, really good group, fantastic professor, great TAs. It was my first time taking a class with my peers, not just sitting on Zoom, but actually being with my peers and taking a class, solving a real problem.
Yeah.
So that really influenced my decision to do engineering. It was the togetherness of the engineering students that I just hadn't experienced in Trinity.
Absolutely. That's a really cool perspective to hear about, because you're right that a lot of the classes were on Zoom freshman year, and that was by necessity. I mean, we were grateful just to be on campus when so many of our peers back home didn't get to necessarily go to their campuses. So that was nice, but at the same time, it did feel different, obviously, than the last few years have felt And having that EGR 101 design course in person was necessary, because how do you design things in a real material way when you're just on Zoom? But ultimately, I'm glad that to hear that that experience was similar for you. I also love my EGR 101 group, and I was already sold on engineering, but to have sold you is a plus for the entire Pratt program. So briefly, Sam, maybe talk a little bit more about what led you to your eventual interdisciplinary major within Pratt.
Of course, yeah. So after freshman year, going into sophomore year, I was pretty confident I wanted to do mechanical engineering. Why, you might ask? I don't know. At one point, my grandfather even asked me, so what exactly does a mechanical engineer do? And I was basically like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
That sort of progressed through the first couple mechanical engineering courses I took, EGR 201, otherwise. And yeah, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And to be honest, didn't love EGR 201.
Yeah.
Didn't love the mechanics physics class. So that was a pretty sound realization that I probably shouldn't be doing mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
I didn't really like mechanics. Mm-hmm. From there, I met with a professor I'd had, or rather a mentor I'd had who was a professor in the ECE department. He was like, why don't you try out ECE? I was like, I'm probably a bit behind to try out ECE. Mm-hmm. But I did. I took ECE 110. Yeah. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But I did like it. But it didn't go fantastically, unfortunately. And from there, I was kind of like, huh, well, I liked ECE 110 a bit. You know, there were aspects of MEC-E I liked, but didn't love the rigid guidelines that you had to follow.
Yeah.
Of course, I switched into Pratt somewhat because there were guidelines. But also, I didn't love that you just had a basically 34 course load, had to take that very little variation.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the interdisciplinary major through someone I met during working at orientation my sophomore year, actually, and kind of never looked back. I loved that you could mix and match all of the majors, choose specific courses that interested you while not taking the ones that you basically had no interest in.
Yeah.
So through the interdisciplinary engineering major, it's honestly less about the title and more about the fact that it's interdisciplinary, because I've gotten to take some really interesting classes in computer science, electrical engineering, even civil engineering, math, artificial intelligence, machine learning, just a whole slew of different courses that I never would have been able to take had I really stuck with one of the majors.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really well said. And it is a different route relative to the more classic, you know, single track engineering majors like mechanical engineering, ECE, BME, civil, and environmental are kind of the five main ones. And civil and environmental have a lot of overlap and everything like that. So it's cool to hear the perspective of someone who kind of chose a different route. But of course, this podcast is for anybody who is considering switching into Pratt, anybody who's already in Pratt, anybody at all, really. But one thing I'm hoping to communicate to our listeners is, you know, a little bit about both sides of the coin, because betwixt the math requirements and the very rigid structure that comes with some of these engineering majors, there can be a lot of drawback when it comes to all that you have to take on, and there can be a lot of upside as well. So I want to hear about both sides of the coin, and we'll start with the former. So Savannah, maybe you could start us off and telling us about the stuff that was inherent to Pratt that maybe you wish you had known before, some of the stuff that you took on as you were going through Pratt that you didn't love so much, the biggest quote-unquote downsides to being an engineering major here at Duke within Pratt.
I would say that the biggest downside is just sophomore and junior year, you have to be prepared to be in a lot of class.
Yeah.
Whereas my friends who were Trinity majors, I feel like they had half the class time that I did. And I was jealous of the amount of free time they had. It's been way less of a thing senior year because you're done with a lot of your lab-focused courses. So I've had comparable amounts of free time to my Trinity friends. But definitely, like, sophomore and junior year, I felt like I was in the trenches 24/7. And then my friends would be like, oh, I'm reading a book.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd be like, I want to kill you. Yeah. But, you know, lab courses aside, that, you know, you have to be prepared to take up a lot of your time. Honestly, I really feel like as long as you're, like, just mentally prepared for the amount of time you have to spend on it, it's, like, not even necessarily that it gets super difficult as long as you time manage. It's just, like, the time management part is just the hardest thing about Pratt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the biggest drawback to Pratt.
That's well said, and I can certainly relate, as I mentioned earlier, being set on mechanical engineering from the start, I perhaps didn't have as accurate a conception of what that time commitment would be like. You know, I think for a lot of us in high school, those STEM courses or our courses at large came a little bit more easily. Whereas here in college, it obviously takes a step up, and that time commitment is nothing to scoff at. So Sam, in a similar vein, I'll ask you, betwixt all that comes with engineering at large, what for you was the biggest drawback as you really went full force into the world of engineering?
The time commitment's pretty tough, I would agree with Savannah. It is difficult to see your friends out there, you know, reading some book that sounds pretty interesting, and you're just doing a 10-hour math problem set. That can be tough. There are, of course, benefits to that, which I'm sure we'll get into later. But, you know, another one of the downsides can occasionally be the monotony. Even though I chose an interdisciplinary major that has let me choose a slightly more different path, there's a lot of just repeat materials. Sometimes you find that you've been doing the same thing for like three classes, and it can get boring. Sometimes you can want a little bit of a change, and that can sometimes be a bit hard to find in prep. But, you know, there's something to be said for the depth that you can get from taking on the same material for three classes as well. So it's a downside, but also an upside.
Yeah, always silver linings to these downsizes. I'm sure we'll get into later on, but I can't help but share my perspective. I mean, I didn't switch into Pratt, like I've mentioned a number of times now, but I also have gone through a similar journey to you two and just some of the courses that we've all taken together. And I will say, those labs really grinded my gears sometimes. I mean, it's the labs themselves can be, you know, as quick as an hour or two, but sometimes much longer, and then the report that follows. I mean, I think we crunched the numbers on it last semester as we were finishing up one of our last lab reports for heat and mass transfer, and some Mechie friends and I came up with it had to be about 50 lab reports, and all of them are at least, you know, a short one would be 6 pages. A long one could be 20 pages or more. So those could really grind the gears late at night, especially when you're working with people who are similarly exhausted. But there's a whole lot of silver linings present within that kind of commitment. Neither of you guys mentioned the math classes, which I know for a lot of people have been the bane of their existence. But to be very clear, there are 5 math credits required to even pursue a Pratt major. The first being Calculus 1, then Calculus 2, which many people take in high school, or at least can take in high school. And then multivariable calculus is the next one. Linear algebra is the one after that. And differential equations. They've switched up the course numbers, some of the order of those last three in the past few years. But those can be a major and significant drawback in that they are pretty much pure math classes. They have tried to frame them more in the context of engineering, but nonetheless, they end up being quite demanding in the context of the just pure amount of time and dedication it takes to master a discipline like math, especially that really high-level math. So all things to be aware of if you're considering a switch into Pratt, or perhaps considering a switch out of Pratt, which is not uncommon. But let's flip the coin now, and let's talk about the upsides of Pratt. We've talked a lot about how difficult it is and the journey itself. So maybe we'll flip the order this time, and Sam, you could start us off, and then Savannah, you could follow up.
Yeah, so actually, I wanted to talk to that math vein. I think that part of the reason why neither of us mentioned math, although it is incredibly difficult, one of the most challenging components to being in Pratt, I think part of the reason we didn't mention that is because Savannah and I both finished our Pratt math career on a really high note, actually, which is one of the, I would say, benefits to Pratt. You do sometimes get access to just a phenomenal professor who can turn your experience with even the hardest of math classes completely around. We both took our final math course, Math 353, that's Ordinary and Partial Differential Equations, with Dr. Hubert Bray.
Oh, that's right.
And it was honestly one of the best classes I've taken at Duke, one of the ones that I've gotten the most out of, which is a little bit unbelievable considering it is that last potentially hardest math course you take. So that's one of the big upsides I see to Pratt, is that you gain access to world-class professors. And sometimes a professor might just turn, you know, the most awful thing completely around and have it be one of the best.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And worth shouting out Dr. Bray. I actually had all three of my math courses at Pratt, multivariable, then linear algebra, and then differential equations, with Bray's. So first Clark Bray in the first two, and then Hubert Bray in the last one. And for me, it was all online, asynchronous our freshman year, and then I took summer session one with Dr. Hubert Bray. But altogether positive experiences, if very challenging. So now that we've covered a bit of that math ground in important context, maybe we'll switch back to Savannah just to talk about the upsides of Pratt. What have you thought about in the context of what you've appreciated maybe in the last few years along your engineering journey?
I would say the biggest thing about Pratt is, like, the biggest upside to it is the community that you will form at the end of your senior year. I think that it's very unique to Pratt because we have such a strict course load that you have to take. You will see the same people in your classes over and over again. And that is something that is unique to Pratt that you don't see in Trinity. A lot of my friends who are in Trinity say that they haven't made friends through their classes, like maybe one throughout their time here at Duke. Whereas I feel like probably half my friends at Duke have come because of being in Pratt.
Yeah.
And like some of my closest friendships have come from being in Pratt and like being in a lab group together. And then suddenly you guys are just besties because you've spent like 30 plus hours together that semester getting your labs turned in and done. And I feel like that, like, nobody else will understand the level of grind you have to go through to finish your courses aside from your fellow Pratt besties.
Absolutely.
And I think that that just creates a very strong community within the Pratt environment. And it makes a lot of the classes that seem very difficult and like you can't do it, it makes it like a mountain that you can climb. And it feels great when you climb it. Because you have all your friends there with you, and it's great to have study sessions together, and like sometimes something will click that maybe took weeks to learn, but then a friend will explain it to you, and then it's like, oh my gosh, thank you. It makes sense now. And I think that that's something that's very unique to Pratt and an experience that you won't really see in Trinity.
Definitely. I absolutely agree. It has a lot to do with that core structure where we all kind of move through the pipeline together. But there's a saying that's quite funny, but also rings true in the context of Pratt. Misery needs company. And some of those moments, grinding through lab reports, studying for a big exam, are miserable, for lack of a better word. There's no two ways around it. But betwixt those late night study sessions and studying for that next exam, sometimes you have a couple exams in 1 week, you spend a lot of time with your engineering colleagues. So I would absolutely agree. And Sam, as someone who took a less straightforward route, what's been your takeaway as far as upsides to being in Pratt?
You know, I've actually experienced the same thing with the community, not just with other peers in your class, but also sometimes your TAs are someone who you've taken a class with before.
Yeah.
And then, oh, you took a slightly different route. One person gets to one place a little bit quicker than another. And then bam, one of your former peers, I mean, still peers, but one of your potential former lab partners is now your TA.
Yeah.
And that's great because, you know, they can help you out and you just remember, wow, my TAs are my peers, and it's just all a big community.
Definitely.
Another one of those upsides that I've really experienced has been the ability to just make something, which is something that, sure, I was only actually in Trinity for 1 year, but the whole time I sometimes felt like, oh, you know, I'm just doing, every single assignment I do is just some rehash of something that's been done, you know, 40,000 times for the past 15 years.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, in Pratt, of course, we've got problem sets and it's the same, but we also have the opportunity to do things that are completely unique and opportunities to come up with our own projects and then execute them with our friends, which is just a really great and unique experience.
Absolutely. Wow. I think y'all both hit on some major upsides to being in Pratt. It's a collective body of people who love to be creative and create things, as Sam mentioned. So I absolutely agree. And another piece that I want to follow up with as one of my favorite parts of being at Pratt has been kind of the end of the light at the end of the tunnel, reaching it. And each time you take a step further, whether you pass that big class or you get through that big lab report, Dynamics Lab 2, if you recall, you know, it there's a sense of accomplishment there. And knowing that you've made it through what is without a doubt one of the most difficult and rigorous majors at a school that's highly rigorous and difficult at least gives me the feeling that I can accomplish anything. If I can put my head down and grind through a course load and a set of materials that I don't necessarily feel incredibly passionate about and I know are incredibly difficult, I can look to the future and know that even if I don't end up in mechanical engineering, which appears unlikely, I'll still have a sense of pride in the context of what I've been able to do as a mechanical engineering undergraduate and what I've been able to accomplish. And I think both of y'all should feel the same way. So as we kind of start to move towards wrapping up this lovely podcast episode, I just want a bit of wisdom from each of you. You know, we've got listeners coming from all over the globe, millions, maybe billions of them. So as you instill your wisdom upon those many listening ears, I'd love to hear, you know, if you could tell freshman year you or senior year in high school you a piece of advice based on, you know, following the same track, not, you know, abandon ship, don't do engineering, but rather some kind of piece of advice to temper your expectations or to give you a little bit more of a balanced perspective going into your college education. What might that be? And I think that'll translate well to anybody who's listening who's in a similar position. So, Savannah, why don't you start us off with any words of wisdom you got for us?
Okay. So, I was a perfectionist in high school, as I'm sure most of the Duke community is and was. And I think the first thing I would tell myself coming into college is that it's okay to fail and you will fail.
Yeah.
There is no way around that, especially in engineering. You will fail sometimes and that is okay. And you just, you know, just get back on that horse and try again because it's hard and you're going to fail and that is okay.
That's it.
But just because you get a really bad grade doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't be an engineer or that you aren't meant to be an engineer. It just means that, you know, maybe you need to go to an extra office hours and figure it out and, you know, spend another grind session with your friends and just put your head down and keep going and the class will be over eventually and, you know, you'll get through it one way or another.
Yeah. These are all affirmations that have made their way into my head as we've grinded through these very difficult classes. And I think you made an especially important point about turning failure into opportunity, you know, to spend more time with friends studying, to take your studying process up a step or two, all very valuable. So thank you for sharing, Savannah. And Sam, what do you got for us as far as words of wisdom, something you could tell your younger self or anybody younger who's in a similar position that you were?
Yeah, I would agree a lot with Savannah. I would say that every opportunity you have is about learning. Mm. It's about the journey of learning. It's not actually about the grade that you get at the end of the class or the GPA that you graduate with. It's about what you can take away from the experience. For example, when I was a freshman, I found myself potentially shying away from courses that I thought might be hard, looking for ways that, oh, maybe could I get around this? Could I do something different? Many of those classes, which I've actually taken and really enjoyed. I think of one specific example, ECE 250, pretty notorious class. People are scared of it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite classes I've taken at Duke. Yeah. So I think that there's opportunity everywhere, even places where, you know, you might be scared to look.
Yeah.
So get out there and take those opportunities. And remember, you know, you might find a gem somewhere. And it's also possible you might despise something. But either way, you'll learn a great deal from either.
Absolutely. I really loved hearing you all's perspectives today, just about approaching these experiences within our academic lives and our engineering lives in a balanced way and one that's growth oriented. You know, you're always looking to grow and learn and see what's out there. So much appreciation to you both for being on the podcast. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of This Engineering Life. So I'm Jack Degoni, and I want to thank all of our viewers worldwide for tuning in today and listening to our spiel about Trinity, Pratt, and everywhere in between. So without further ado, we're signing off. Until next time.
So today we have Dean Cook with us. So excited to have him. We're just going to ask you a couple of questions about transferring between Pratt and Trinity. So when do you think is the last resort to transfer between the two, or like a good opportunity to do so?
Well, for Trinity students transferring into Pratt, I think the earlier the better. Just because Pratt has a lot of prerequisite courses that, you know, push further, you know, certain courses in the sophomore year that are only offered in certain semesters back. So for students looking to transfer in, you know, doing it in the first, even before they get here with admissions or in the first or second semesters makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, they might need more time to finish the degree, right? Like an extra semester a year. For students transferring from Pratt to Trinity, I think any time in the first 2 years gives you a chance to kind of complete a major in Trinity, 10 courses for the most part, for most majors. But we see kind of I would say the majority of students who end up making that transfer are doing it in their first 3 semesters. And then there's kind of a drop off. There's always a couple of students who don't complete the process and kind of stick around in one school or the other longer than maybe is ideal from my point of view, because like the support structure in Trinity isn't available to them, or the support structure at Pratt isn't available to them. So earlier the better, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure like you see a lot of students that go through this, and I'm sure it's really hard. What do you think is the biggest challenge that they face?
I mean, I don't know how hard the process isn't very hard. You have to have 2 meetings.
Okay.
And there's a registrar process in Duke Hub to like make the transfer. So like we only do it a couple times a year, and I think the registrar has to do it like one by one. Mm-hmm. So we usually send the list and just like after grades are in December or May, and then they kind of process it, you know, as on their own time frame. But it's not like a quick, it's not like some other things in the Duke Hub that are quick. The biggest group of transfers I think are like transferring out are like kind of ECECS students who aren't sure which direction they want to go. EC and CS are very overlapping. So sometimes it's the flexibility of the, you know, being able to take more courses outside the major that students want to do, CS and Trinity. Some Pratt students want to go more in depth and take more EC and CS courses. So Pratt is more attractive. The students, I guess, that are most difficult for are the students who kind of, like, feel like they're not being successful in the classes. And then kind of, like, there's an emotional piece of, like, I'm leaving engineering and, like, I didn't want to do that initially.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you're, like, almost like failure. It's not failure. It's just change, right? But I can see that. Like, feels like you're giving up almost.
Yeah, I mean, and so students will come, you know, at Duke, we have these kind of, like, arbitrary separation between engineering and Trinity. But, like, you know, everyone wants to pursue the education they're excited about, right? And we're not hoping that students stay in Pratt if they don't want to do engineering, right? And the faculty in Pratt want to teach students that are excited about engineering. So we want students to, like, decide the thing that they're excited about and then, you know, go in that direction. But sometimes students are kind of, like, apologetic to me. Like, they're like, I'm sorry, I'm leaving engineering. I'm like, well, you're excited about this other thing. Like, you should do that thing, right? But there is, for some students, kind of an emotional, like, oh, like, I'm leaving engineering, and maybe their friends are in engineering, their social groups are in engineering. And so I think there's a, like, there is a feeling for some students of, like, being disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's difficult to go between one and the other. We have a few, like, I know a few people that switched into Pratt. We have one member of the pod who switched into Pratt. How would you, like, recommend with dealing between, like, the different dynamics of, like, Trinity and Pratt? Because from my understanding, it's very different.
Well, sometimes I think students who switch into Pratt and don't have some of the, like, orientation with Pratt, they feel like they're not, like, fully part of the Pratt community. And I think for those students trying to get involved with a co-curricular or a club or a student group with other Pratt students and kind of, you know, seek out some more Pratt students to feel like, you know, you have resources in Pratt, you have students to talk to about your classes, I think it's helpful. And also, like, faculty, you know, like, taking, when you're, you know, there's certain, I think, Pratt faculty that are very, like, I don't know, like Becky Simmons or people that, like, spend a lot of time working with students in their classes, but also, like, within the major, and kind of reaching out to those faculty when you're taking those classes and having, you know, flunching or having conversations about, like, kind of how to pursue your interests in engineering. Because a lot of the, like, I think especially for, you know, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, a lot of the things that they might want to do in engineering, like being involved in co-curriculars, helps them kind of do the things that they might want to do after Duke. You know, whatever it is, I think not everything that you're going to do in engineering is necessarily in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I actually wanted to backtrack for a quick second. Can you give us a brief overview on, like, kind of your story, your undergrad, how you got to Duke, and then what you do here now, how you aid in this transfer process?
Sure. Well, so let me start with the last part of the question. The transfer process requires students to meet with their academic dean in Pratt, or a Pratt academic dean if they're transferring into or out of Trinity, and then Jen Hoff, who is a Trinity advisor. If they're transferring into Pratt, they really only need to meet with their prospective academic dean. So they, you know, based on last name, they figure out which one of us to contact. They set up a meeting with us, and then we, like, send them an email that if they kind of complete the form in the email, they get put on a list that we'll transfer them at the end of the semester. And during that meeting, we talk about the courses they should take and, like, how to, like, achieve the Pratt major. But that meeting is the only requirement that they have. The other requirement to transfer into Pratt is to take a Pratt class. So take, you know, something like Engineering 101, Engineering 103, we count CompSci 201, something like, we don't want students to transfer in, take a class, and then transfer back out. Mm-hmm. So we want them to have, like, kind of make sure that they want to transfer in. So I was a undergraduate math major at MIT, and I came to grad, well, my father and grandfather had PhDs, and my mother had a master's. And I kind of fell into graduate school because I didn't really like, I got a job offer from the CIA, and I didn't want to work for the CIA.
Oh, so you're from D.C., right?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But I was kind of afraid to work for the CIA. So I, like, had an interview. I had one interview. Like, no, like, on-site, nothing. They just, like, I had one 30-minute interview, and then they offered me a job, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Okay. Like, but, yeah, I was kind of, like, applying to graduate school. I applied to actually both economics and math grad schools. Ended up choosing to come to Duke for math. And then realized in graduate school that I really like working with students, but I wasn't very good at research, and I wasn't very, like, passionate about research. And I was able to teach in graduate school. And then I worked in the Academic Resource Center at Duke for, like, 11 years. Actually, I started in the Academic Resource Center before I finished my PhD. And I was, like, giving students advice on how to manage their time while not managing my time very well. And then I realized, like, oh, well, if I want to finish my PhD, I have to manage my time. So I, like, kind of, it was a good, like, I was teaching students to do what I should be doing. Yeah, and then I was, like, in the kind of staff position at Duke, was an academic advisor, meeting with students one-on-one in the Academic Resource Center. And when a job in kind of as a dean in Pratt opened up, I applied for it, actually twice. It's the second time I got the position. And I still get to meet one-on-one with students, and I also have gotten to teach.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I feel like there's a common thread in your whole story, like from undergrad to now, of like the one-on-one working with students. Like, is that something that you're passionate about? Like,
the thing that I realized working in the Academic Resource Center, that when you're teaching a class, you don't really experience, like, the student experience. So, like, you don't see, like, how hard students are working and kind of the effort and the, kind of the, like, you know, almost all Duke students are very, like, academically motivated. And that's, you know, they got to Duke. It's a big part of who they are. And so in the Academic Resource Center, you really, like, appreciate, like, the effort and the like, emotional commitment to being a student. When I was working in the Academic Resource Center, I realized I liked working one-on-one with students more than teaching. And so teaching is, like, I enjoy for me. Like, I like thinking about how to teach and, like, getting better at it. But it's more of a, like, I'm doing it for me more than for the students. Whereas working with students is one-on-one, it's like I feel like I'm contributing to their academic goals and expectations. And I think that work, it hasn't gotten old. You know, there's certain themes that, you know, transitioning to college, adjusting to math or chemistry classes. But I don't feel like running the same wheel over and over again. I think that's been kind of rewarding.
Yeah, for sure. Have you seen, like, a trend in students? Like, you've been here for a very long time. Like, what is, like, some trends that you've seen in students, like, either in Pratt or in Trinity? Like, how do you think, like, after, like, COVID and stuff like that, like, how has it affected, like, the student body and things like that?
I think there was a period during COVID where students kind of self-identified as not having gotten as strong a math or, you know, they were taking, like, maybe math or physics or chemistry or whatever was online, and they felt less strong in those areas. And so they started a little earlier in the sequence. Like, they kind of chose to not use their AP credit because, like, they just felt less prepared. And I think that's kind of shifted back to kind of pre-COVID levels. And that's based on kind of, like, the percentage of Pratt students that we see in, like, the different math classes. So I don't know if the COVID effect is still affecting incoming students. And I mean, I think the challenges for students in Pratt, but also in Trinity, are, like, you know, taking classes in new departments where you haven't, like, experienced the expectations of a particular department. So for Pratt students, it's math, physics, chemistry, biology, you know, ECE, whatever the engineering department is. And I think there's like the adjustment to kind of departmental expectations or working to meet your own expectations about how you want to do. And I think that, you know, for first year students, that's a big challenge. But it's no different than from a pre-health student taking chemistry and math in their first year, or a physics major, or like a psychology major taking. I mean, it's like you're adjusting to some kind of new department or new professor, and kind of figuring out how to, like, learn in that environment. And so, I mean, I think that's, like, a common theme across Pratt and Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Do you have any final advice for students who are thinking about transferring either way?
Yeah, I mean, I think take classes that in the department that you're interested in to see if you like it.
Yeah.
And I think we try to have space in Engineering 101. Like, the spring semester Engineering 101 is, like, primarily for Trinity students. Mm-hmm. And we try to open up enough space in the fall semester for students who contact us over the summer. We've gotten better at getting students in earlier. there's a certain group of students that start in engineering but never take an engineering class. They just kind of decide at some point, oh, I'm not going to do engineering, and they go, you know, do an econ or something else, or math, whatever it is. And so, like, those students, we would like to, any Trinity student who's interested in engineering, like, we'd love for them to, like, take Engineering 101 or, like, try it out. And so, I mean, we've tried to get better at, like, connecting with those students and having space in Engineering 101 in the fall. But then we also have a section of 101 in the spring to, like, if they can't fit it in their schedule in the fall.
Yeah. I recommend everyone take ECR 101. I think it was probably my favorite class I ever took here. So if you're listening, sign up for ECR 101 in the spring. All right. Well, thank you so much. This was amazing. Thank you for spending the morning with us.
Thank you.
This Engineering Life is brought to you and supported by the Pratt School of Engineering at Duke University. A special thanks to all of our interviewees for sharing their experiences.
Our senior producer is Dr. Rebecca Simmons. Our editors are Raina Verbensky, Richard Kim, and Celine Wang. Our theme music is from Silverman Sound, Audionautics, and Kevin McLeod.
This Engineering Life social media is run by Raina Verbensky and Paulina Epstein. Our brand new co-hosts for this season are Jack Dugoni and Ellie Vogel.
Tune back in 2 weeks for our Spotlight episode with Professor Hayes.
You can find this episode and more resources online at thisengineeringlife.com. Also, be sure to look us up on TikTok. I'm Richard.
I'm Celine.
And I'm Raina. And this has been This Engineering Life. See you again soon.